full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up seven cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the seven sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. Seven heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up, and it had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. And when he was shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the life of Joseph. That is encouragement to us, Lord, that in the midst of all the challenges that he's gone through and he went through in his life, he held on to his integrity and his faith and trust in you. He never doubted your promises to him. And he never doubted your presence in his life. Father, I pray that you would speak to us again through his word, in your word this morning, and encourage our hearts. And we thank you for those times when you step into our life. And when you do, things change. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God who is active in our life. And you're not distant, but you are very near and you are very personal with us. And we thank you for that promise that you are with us always. So speak to us now and through your word, through Jesus in whom we pray. Amen. Last week when we left Joseph, we had left him in that prison where it seemed like he had been forgotten and forsaken. But he wasn't forsaken by God, as we had seen, but it seemed like he had been forgotten by those after the chief butler and baker of the king had visions, had dreams, and Joseph interpreted to them and told the cupbearer that he would be restored to his position and when he was to remember him. But we had seen that 2 years had passed, the cupbearer forgot all about Joseph, and he continued to suffer in that prison. But yet, even though he had seen that he had been forgotten by others, he wasn't forgotten by God. And we had learned that last week, and that his presence is always with us. But this week, something changed in Joseph's life because God stepped in. And when God steps in our life and when God acts, life is different. Pharaoh had a dream. And this dream troubled him. In fact, he had two. One of seven cows that came up out of the river and they ate and they were full and they were big and they were healthy. But then seven other cows came up out of the river and ate the other seven, and they still looked as gaunt as they did before. And then there were seven heads of wheat and corn that had seven great stalks and they were fruitful and productive. But then there were seven others that came up and overtook. And Pharaoh was troubled. And he couldn't understand what these dreams meant. He knew they meant something. And so he called for the officials of Egypt and the magicians and wise men. And no one could figure it out. But at that point, The cupbearer remembered Joseph. And God was about to step in. This morning we discover when God steps in, there's three things we can learn from our life. And God steps in just the right moment. Sometimes we wonder when we pray and there's a burden on our heart. Joseph, languishing in that prison, would say, God, are you ever going to get me out of here? Are you ever going to act? Remember, he was in prison for doing the right thing. He was doing what was right, and he was suffering in prison for it. And sometimes we have burdens or something we're praying for or a concern we have, and we pray and we take it to the Lord and we carry that burden. We say, Lord, are you ever going to act? Are you ever going to step in? I'm sure every day Joseph wondered, is this going to be the day of my freedom? And we read here that 2 full years of time had passed. But at just the right moment, God acted. And God steps in at the right moment, friends, according to his timetable and not ours. I'm sure Joseph was hoping that the cupbearer, when he was restored to the king, he was probably hoping, boy, today's going to be my day of freedom. But no, 2 more years of time had passed. God didn't act yet. It wasn't the proper time. It wasn't according to Joseph's timetable. It was according to God's, because Pharaoh was going to have a dream. It was going to be at the proper time God was going to respond. And friends, it's not easy to wait, is it? It's not. We wish God would act now. In fact, we wish God would act yesterday. When we're praying for something and it doesn't happen right away, we say, Lord, why are you waiting? Why are you delaying? And why is waiting for God so difficult? Why? Why makes it so hard? Any ideas? Why is it hard to wait? Because we want answers. We want it now. We wish God would respond. It can be hard to wait. 2 full more 4 years. But waiting on God is important, because waiting on God develops trust. And as Joseph was waiting for God's timetable, and as we wait for God to act and step in, it teaches us trust in him. And we have to realize that God is in control. God has a plan. And I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust him, because God is good. Joseph had to learn to trust God and not man. He had to learn not to trust the cupbearer, because he couldn't trust him. He had to learn to trust God. And when we wait sometimes, that waiting develops deeper trust of the Lord in our life. That's why sometimes we have to wait. Waiting also develops patience. Boy, there's a big one. How about it? Patience is hard for us. We wish God would act now, and we all are impatient people. But waiting develops patience. That's how we learn it. And so sometimes God may delay. God may not respond or step into our prayer or our concern at this moment, because he wants us to wait and to learn patience. That's not easy. How do we learn patience? By trials. How do we learn patience? By waiting. Those are ways in which God teaches it to us. But waiting on God also develops maturity, as we'll see in Joseph's life. And it was going to be 14 years of time from when he left and was taken away as a slave from his father, sold by his brothers, until he was going to be elevated to this position in power in Egypt. 14 years of time. But in that time, Joseph had to mature. And we're going to see part of that maturity demonstrated today as we look at the scripture. Because you remember when God gave given Joseph those dreams as a boy, as a 16-year-old, as a 14-year-old, 15-year-old teenager. And Joseph had shared those dreams with his brothers. Remember, he said, I had a dream. And in my dream, I saw you all bowing down to me. And I had this dream, and he was kind of bragful about it. we're going to see as he goes before the king. The king says, I hear that you can tell dreams. Joseph says, no, it's not me, it's God. And in those years, Joseph had to learn maturity. And he was going to grow up from being that teenager to a man that God can use. And sometimes it's in that waiting that we mature, that we grow and get to that point where God can act and respond in our life. Psalm 27 verse 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Boy, I don't know about you, but I wish God would act right away and step in right away, but it's according to his timetable, not ours. So Joseph waited 15 years. Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac and the son of the promise to be born. Moses waited 40 years in the wilderness to be trained. Jesus waited 30 years. So if God is making you wait, friends, you're in good company. Because that's how he works. He steps in, but it's at just the right moment according to his timetable, not ours. 2 more years of time had to pass. And then God was going to respond. And when God steps in at the right time when things are desperate and appear hopeless. The king had it, Pharaoh had a dream. And no one could understand it. No one could interpret it. None of the wise men of Egypt, none of the magicians. It just didn't make sense. And Pharaoh was in a desperate situation. And he said, there's no one to interpret it for me. And it was desperate for him. He knew there was something that was trying to be communicated to him. He saw this dream twice, and no one could explain it to him. On the same hand, Joseph was getting desperate. It seemed hopeless to him. He had been in prison for all these years. Seem had been forgotten. It seemed like no one cared about him. He's forgotten there. And it seemed like it was hopeless and desperate for him as well. But that's when God loves to step in our life. When we are beyond hope and things look desperate, because then we realize it's not us. Then we realize unless God intervenes, it's not going to happen. And that's when God loves to step in. That's the right time. Have you had those times in your life when it seems like you're beyond all hope? When it seems like the situation you're in is desperate and there's no way out of it or through it? Then that's the point where God loves to step in. Just as the nation of Israel was a bank at the Red Sea, with the Red Sea before them and the army, invading army behind them. And that was a desperate, hopeless situation. But God stepped in at the right moment. And he loves to do that. That's the kind of God we have. He steps in at just the right moment. And second, when God steps into our life, when God steps in, our life is never the same. And that's the beauty when God acts. What God was about to do here was going to change Joseph's life. He was not going to be the same when God was going to act. And when God steps into our life, he changes us too. Things are never the same again out of his goodness. Because God is sovereign, he will bring about his eternal purpose. In verses 14 to 32, Pharaoh says, go and get this boy. And Pharaoh sent for Joseph. He was brought before him. And Pharaoh said to him, I had a dream and no one can interpret it, but I've heard it said that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Verse 16, notice how Joseph grown up here. He said, I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Joseph had learned in his maturity, had learned humility. And so Pharaoh told him the dream and said, I explained it to him. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, verse 25, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. And the 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 heads of grain are 7 years, and it is one and the same. And the 7 ugly cows are 7 years, and the 7 worthless heads of grain are also 7 years. And then he said in verse 28, just as I said, I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of an abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. And verse 32 says, the reason why the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. We see here the sovereignty of God, and God was showing Pharaoh in his dreams what he was about to do. And Joseph later on reveals in his life that all that God had done in his life, God had meant it for good. Because God is sovereign and God is in control. And God is sovereign and he will bring about his eternal purpose. And his life changed here as God was about to bring about his will. And we can trust him and know that our life is not the same because God is at work in it. And he is sovereign and has that sovereign plan. And because God is good, he does far more than we can ever imagine. When Joseph gave the interpretation of the dream, he interpreted it to Pharaoh, and all he knew, he was being sent before Pharaoh, and he probably thought, I got my freedom maybe, this is the day I was looking for. But Pharaoh said, I hear you can interpret dreams, and he gave him the answer, and Pharaoh was pleased. And jump down to verse 39. Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, and there is no one so discerning as wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace. And all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring, sign of his authority, from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger, meaning that Joseph had the authority to act by the king. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around him, and he made him ride in his chariot as second in command, as men shouted before him, make way. Thus he put Joseph in charge of the whole land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or foot in all of Egypt. Wow. That was how Joseph's life changed in one moment. God is good, and he does far more than we could ever imagine. Joseph, I'm sure, never dreamed that he would be elevated to second in command of all of Egypt, that no one could do anything without his word. Life changed for him in an instant that day when God stepped in. His life was never the same again. And when God steps in, he has the power. He makes that difference in our life that things are never the same again. Isn't that beautiful? He was brought, he took him from the prison to the palace. And the Lord takes us from the prison of our sin into the palace of his presence. And when he steps into our life, those changes happen. That he brought us, we were brought into the very presence of the king. And just think of that. We have the privilege of going to the presence of the king of the universe. Joseph was a slave and was taught into the presence of the most powerful ruler of the world at that time, the most powerful power at that time of the world as ancient Egypt. And he was elevated to that second position. And he took us from rags to riches. The rags of our sin. The Bible says that all of our righteousness was as filthy rags. And he clothed us in the righteousness and the riches of Christ, and made us heirs of all that, and we receive all the inheritance and the joy of the kingdom. All that is God's comes to us through Christ. He has lifted us up, and the scripture says, and placed us in the heavenly places in him. Isn't that amazing? Think how he's changed our life, and he enlisted us into the king's service. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, he, our God, is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. This was way beyond even Joseph's wildest dreams. He never would have imagined that God was going to act in his life in that way. To be taken from a slave to the second highest in one moment and one day. That's what happens when God steps in, friends. And we can be encouraged by that. Our lives are never the same again. They're different when he steps into our life. The third thing is that when God steps in, he gives us opportunities to bring him glory. God was going to use Joseph in this powerful position and to make a difference and to bring glory. Through what we say in verses 15 and 16, as Joseph was brought before Pharaoh, the Pharaoh said, I had a dream and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Now, if you would have been Joseph and you had been in the prison for 2 years or more, and you had been put in the prison being wrongly accused, put in jail for something you didn't do, and you had a chance to come before the king, what would you have said first? What would have been the first thing you said? Your Majesty, I was put in wrongly. I was treated bad. You need to set me free. You need to do all this. But that's not what Joseph did. He just gave glory to God and used his position that God had given him and what he had to say to bring glory to God. And then he interpreted the dream for him and helped him understand it. God wants us to use where we are, what we say, to bring glory to him and through what we do. Joseph then was given that position in verses 30 to 31, 33, verses 33, Joseph gives advice to the Pharaoh. He says, now since this is going to happen, there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, I suggest you find somebody who's wise and discerning and put them in charge of this project. Somebody who can, during the 7 years of plenty, put back a portion of it in reserve so that when the 7 years of famine come, there's food built up in reserve to bring the people through. And the Pharaoh said, you know, that's a good plan. He said, why don't you do that? And he gave Joseph that project. And he was able, through what he did, through the gifts God had given him of administration and leadership, to use his gifts to bring glory to God through that. And no matter what we do in our life, through the gifts God's given us, to do it for his glory and to honor him. Now this is Corrie Ten Boom. And Corrie Ten Boom had been in prison in a concentration camp in Germany for where her family had tried to hide the Jews during World War II in their home in Holland. And her father was a clockmaker, and they had a secret room in their house that they would hide Jews to try to keep them safe from the Nazis during World War II, during the Holocaust. And their home was raided by the Gestapo, and they found out, and Betsy and her sister were taken to Ravensbrück concentration camp, one of the worst for women. And she had suffered there. In fact, her sister, one sister, had died there. But she had been set free. Her day of being set free, when God acted, she wrote about it. And I want to read what she wrote, because in her book, Tramp for the Lord, she displays her feelings the day that she was set free from the concentration camp. And it feels kind of like what Joseph may have felt. And this is what she wrote, quoting her. She said, when you were dying, when you stand at the gate of eternity, you see things different from a different perspective than when you think you might live for a very long time. I've been standing at that gate for many months, living in barracks 28 in the shadow of the crematorium. Every time I saw smoke pouring from the hideous smokestacks, I knew that it was the last remains of some poor woman who had been with me in Ravensbrück. Often I ask myself, when will it be my time to be killed or to die? But I was not afraid. Following Betsy's death, God's presence was even more real. Even though I was looking into the valley of shadow of death, I was not afraid. It was here that Jesus comes closest, taking our hand and leading us through. One week before the order came to kill all the women of my age, I was free. I still did not understand all the details of my release from Ravensbrück. All I know is it was a miracle of God. I stood in the prison yard waiting for the final order. Beyond the walls, with their strands of barbed wire, stood the silent trees of the German forest, looking so much like gray-green sets on back of our theater stages in Holland. Mimi, one of the fellow prisoners, came within whispering distance. Tiny died this morning, she said, without looking at me. And Marie also. Tiny? Oh, Lord, thank you for letting me point her to Jesus, who has now ushered her safely into your presence. And Marie, I knew her well. She lived in my barracks and had attended my Bible talks. Like Tiny, Marie had also accepted Jesus as her Lord. I look back at the long rows of barracks. Lord, if it was only for Tiny and Marie that they may come to know you before they died, then this has all been worthwhile. A guard stood harshly telling Mimi to leave the yard. Then she said to me, "Face the gate. Do not turn around." The gate swung open, and I glimpsed the lakefront in front of the camp. I could smell freedom. "Follow me," a young girl in an officer's uniform said to me, and I walked slowly through the gate, never looking back. Behind me, I heard the hinges squeak as the gate swung shut. I was free, and flooding through my mind were the words of Jesus to his church at Philadelphia, "Behold, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut." That's how it was for Joseph. His life had changed at that moment when God stepped in, when it seemed beyond all hope, at just the right moment. And his life was changed forever, because behind all of it was a sovereign God at work who has a good purpose in everything he does. And at just the right moment, he will step in. Are you burdened about something? Is there something you've been concerned about? And you wonder where God is in the midst of it? At just the right time, he will act. Trust him and use that time to bring his glory, just as Corrie ten Boom had done with her life. Doing all to the glory of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you step into our lives, and sometimes it's those times when things seem desperate and hopeless, when it seems like we're beyond ourselves, and it's in those times that we learn to trust you. And Lord, we wish you would act right away, but it's not according to our timetable, it's according to yours. And that waiting on you teaches us patience, it teaches us trust, it teaches us maturity, it helps us to develop in our faith and grow in you. But Lord, we thank you that at that right moment you will step in. And when you do, our life changes forever. Things are never the same again. Joseph's life changed that one day when he was taken from rags to riches in one moment when you stepped in and his life changed. Lord, in our lives as well, help us to see. And thank you as we look back and we can see in those times in our life when you stepped in the past and how that has changed our life. And trust you that because you've been faithful in the past, you will continue to be faithful to us in the future as well. So Lord, help us in those times when you step in to glorify you by what we do, by what we say, that our life, Lord, is a living testament to your goodness, to your life, and to your blessing. And so, Lord, thank you that you are active in our life, that you never forsake us. You always were with Joseph. The scripture made it clear, and Joseph knew that you were with him, even in the darkest days. And we thank you that you remain by our side. And know that you will lead us through and out the other side in your time. Sometimes you may not deliver us through it, but you're with us in it. But we know that you will act and you will step into our life, and you do. So thank you for those promises, and thank you for being a good God and a sovereign God who works everything out according to your good purpose and will. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.